Fed up of flawed robes, driven to distraction and drowning with doom boxes? Tired of living in chaos? Welcome to Decluttering Untangled, how to declutter when you're overwhelmed, ADHD or autistic. I'm going to help you uncover the secrets to decluttering, no matter what hurdles you face. You'll discover how to declutter, de-stress and transform your world. I'm Heather Tingle, reformed hoarder, neurodivergent declutter queen and your guide through the maze of mess. Let's get untangled. Hello, Untanglers, and welcome to another episode of Decluttering Untangled. In today's podcast, I want to go through part of my PAVE system, and that's the A standing for action part. So as we actively declutter, the way it works and why my system lasts instead of these binge declutters is that we change how you actually think. And if we can't change it, we work out what our brain is going to bring up, acknowledge it, and then ways to really think it through so you're making decisions for long-term decluttering, not short-term wins where things will go backwards very, very quickly, because I'm guessing that you've probably tried decluttering before and it's one of those, it goes out and then more stuff just magically takes its place. So the way I'm going to talk you through today is talking through the things that your brain is going to come up with that will derail you and you have to work around. So today's comment that our brain will come up with is one I hear probably the most often. I definitely hear it at least 4 times a week, at least. I really wish that I could be rich for every time this is said. And that's the, it'll come in handy. So have you ever said that to yourself? You know, it'll come in handy one day. Oh, I don't want to get rid of that. It might come in handy. I definitely did. And I think before we start working out how to decide on whether to keep it or let it go, you have to think about where that comment comes from. So in my background, it came from my parents and grandparents. Usually, it's usually the same for you as well. So growing up for me, we were relatively poor. My grandparents were definitely of the make, do and mend generation. Definitely my grandfather's childhood, it was in the Depression and absolutely everything was precious. So, you know, socks would be darned. They would put cardboard in shoes if they had a hole in, all those kind of things. So growing up, that mindset being passed down to us. But now we're at the generation, and our kids definitely are, where the supermarket's open 24 hours a day, where Amazon can deliver next day or definitely in some places the same day. We have, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, but we definitely have a disposable society. So often things, for example, white goods are bought, and if we want to fix them, often we can't no longer do it ourselves. So think of things like cars, for example, in the olden days. And I know when I was learning to drive, I was taught how to fix and how to service my car. These days, they're more like mini computers. So, you know, you've got to pay someone to do it. And it's the same with things like white goods. So white goods now, in the past, might have lasted 10, 15, 20 years. Now we're lucky if we get 5 years out of them, and the things that break on them aren't worth repairing anymore. Or if they are, it costs us a lot of time, effort and energy to do that. So sometimes some people will find it easier just to buy new. Now, when you have that disposable society, the ability to purchase so many things, even if it's secondhand, it is easy to get things now. If I want to get a random object, name pretty much anything, I can usually get it within 24 hours, one way or another. In times gone by, we weren't able to do that. So when you've got that generation that can get everything and anything they ever wanted, alongside the generational mindset of keep everything, everything is precious, it might come in handy, it'll cost money if you need to replace it, don't let it go, that's when you have a problem, because you've got two competing lives almost. So when that comes up, you really need to think about where that thought comes from and recognize, is that part of life today? So for example, with clothes, for example, it will come in handy if it's clothes. It may be that you can't afford to go clothes shopping, that even charity shops these days are quite expensive. So you know that for your circumstances, keeping clothes absolutely makes sense. That's totally okay. You've acknowledged it, you've figured it out, you've worked through it. That's fine. It might be, though, that you find, I don't know, for example, for me, a random piece of wood. It's a good piece of wood. My brain automatically defaults to, that's a good piece of wood. It might come in handy one day. And that's when it causes a problem. So I want you to look at all these things that I'm going to talk about now when you hear yourself saying, it might come in handy. So the first thing I want to ask yourself is, if it came to the point where it could come in handy, can you find it? So would you know where it was? Is there a space for it that you know, oh, I need, for example, that piece of wood, that will be where I keep my wood and it is in this place and that's fine? Or is the volume of what you're keeping causing issues with everyday life? So, for example, if I kept everything that I thought might come in handy one day, I would go back to living the way I used to live, and that would absolutely ruin my day-to-day life. Now I know the other side of it, I never want to go back to that. So my peace of mind is so much more important than that random piece of wood. So that for me is I'm going to chop it, I'm going to burn it, or I'm going to give it to a friend, or I'm going to give it to a man cave, or I've got a friend who does things with wood, I would give it them. So is that volume worth your everyday piece? If it's an amazing, I don't know, amazing fabric that you know what you want to do with it, and there are other, you know, there's room in your fabric space, then that's not going to cause you a problem. Wonderful. Then that's okay. You can keep it. However, if the fabric space has now turned into 5 massive laundry bags, and under the stairs cupboard, it's no longer just fitting in your craft space, it's now everywhere else, and you wouldn't be able to find it anymore. That's when you got to ask yourself, actually, how important is this piece of fabric? Maybe the other pieces of fabric need to have a sort out to keep this one, and others have to go instead. So ask yourself, is the volume of it causing a problem? And I want you to start living in the now a little bit more. So often we keep things because one day we're going to do something with it. And that one day never comes, and by the time you know it, you aren't able to do that thing anymore, and then it has to go. And then that is heartbreaking, because it's all those wasted dreams, all those wasted opportunities to do stuff. And that's really devastating. It's far easier to let things go before you build up big plans for them. Or you make those plans happen. You make those one days into today, and you actually do it. Now, to be able to do it, it's highly likely that you're going to need some mental energy, you're going to need some physical space. And so that means that some things have to go to be able to make that happen. So how important is that future dream of doing that thing? Is it before I die, I'm definitely going to do this? Or is it one day I'd like to do this, but we'll see, because there's a million and one other things I want to do as well. Which one is it? Do you have a use for it, or is it vague? So often I find clients keep things and they say, oh, it's going to come in handy one day, I'm going to do something with it. And I always ask then at that point, what? Do you know what you're going to do with it? Because if you don't, then all these other items that you do have ideas for that are real projects in my head, that you've got a physical, I'm going to turn that into a lamp, for example. Great. That's an actual project that you know you can book into your diary and make happen. Hopefully, let's face it, doesn't always, but let's hope. Or is it a random piece of metal? You've no idea what to do with it. You just thought it'd come in handy. And actually, if you looked at it, would you go and get it again? That's quite a big one. So you've got it now. But would you physically go to someone's house to go and pick that up if you found it again? Like, would you want it again? Would you buy it again if it cost you money? Often the answer is, actually, I wouldn't. But the part of you that sees its value might not want to, for example, let it go and just go to landfill. So find a really good exit plan for it that feels good. They're all over the place. There are companies that are now set up for these kind of random bits that people can be creative and arty with. There's always craft groups. There's always a good exit plan for you to find. So find that exit plan and pass that dream on to someone else for them to make a reality rather than for you to live in stress and clutter and it never becomes a reality because of it. It is so much easier to be creative when you are not battling your house and when you have the space to do it. So I had a client, and when we started writing into a diary all the projects that of all the items that she had collected, she realized that she wouldn't do them even if she did one project a week for the next like 100 years. Like, it was just not going to happen. So we decided to pick 10 projects, which were pretty big projects, don't get me wrong, like she still had a decent amount of stuff, 10 projects that she would do, and she was going to be focusing in on doing one project at a time, or and then have one side project, because let's face it, ADHD, we're going to like flit about. She's going to have one main project and one side project on the go at any one time, and she isn't allowed to start another one until she's finished those. And that worked so much better for her because those dreams turn into reality, felt productive and felt good and felt like she was being creative. I'm sure you've all seen the memes of the collecting craft stuff versus actually using them are two totally different things. And that was the case for her, and she really wanted to produce. So we found a way to narrow it down so that she had the space and she had the mental energy to actually do it. And isn't that what life's about? Doing stuff that makes you happy. So collecting stuff and having it in your home most of the time doesn't actually make you happy. It might do very short term, but not long term. If you didn't have it, what would you use instead? So if that item that was going to come in handy one day had gone, what would you use instead? 99% of the time you'd find something else. Something else would do just as well. So have that in the back of your mind. If you didn't have it, could you borrow it? There are so many places these days, either with friends, with, for example, the app Olio has a borrowing section now. There are borrowing, like rental sites that you can borrow things. And often you could just ask a friend, oh, have you got this type of thing? Or could you get it again if you wanted to? Like, most of the time, yes, you could actually. And then I want you to think a little bit more logically, because always go on emotion first, but then we have to do a little bit of logic with this one. What is the genuine likelihood that you're actually going to use it? What percentage is it? What possibility do you want to keep it for? So in my head, anything over 80% likelihood is a good one. Most things, when we look at clients, it's like 0.05% likelihood, like 1% if that. So what percentage is likely? So it's all right having all these for all eventualities, but are those eventualities likely? If they're not, could you get them again? Could you borrow instead? Is there something else that would do the job instead? Likely, yes. And are you thinking of a future that's not actually happening? So, you know, this will come in handy if I have grandkids. Well, that's like another 30 years down the line. Like, you might not even have grandkids. And when you get to that point, will they have been kept nice enough for the grandkids to be able to use them? Will they still be the type of thing that the grandkids would want to use? And maybe what would you do if the grandkids don't actually want to use that type of thing? So if you're thinking of a future eventuality, what is the likelihood of that really being a possibility? And is it worth your peace in the meantime to keep it? So there you go. There's a few things that when it might come in handy one day, comes into your mind. I want you to go through this list, even if you maybe write it on some post-it notes, stick it on a magnet on your fridge. Next time you think it will come in handy, go through these. And if you can answer yes to all these and you're totally okay with it, then find the space for it to live and let go of something else instead. So there you go. Until next time, be kind to yourself and keep untangling. Thanks for joining me for today's episode of Decluttering Untangled. If you found anything that I've said today helpful, please do me a favour, hit that subscribe button or leave me a review. It's like receiving a virtual high five that keeps me going and lets me know that I'm helping real people out there and I'm making a difference. Please remember, you're not alone in this. I'm building a community of fellow untanglers over on Facebook. Just visit the show notes for the link to my free decluttering community. So until next time, remember, you're not alone, you're not lazy, you can untangle your life.